Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 197 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today we will focus on cultural diversity. First up in our category, Absolutely Serious, we hear from Sheila Young, the director of the International Office at Brock University in Canada. She prepared herself for the German culture before her visit to Rhein-Ahr Campus. Apparently, foreigners are advised not to smile too much in Germany.
Smiling too much, like when it said something about, you know, don't walk around and just smile at people as you pass them because they'll think that you're crazy.
In our second category, Absolutely Integrated, we hear from three students who recently took part in the Managing Cultural Diversity workshop. They tell us how it took them by surprise to find out that there were three refugees integrated among the students in the workshop.
Then I realized at some point, yeah, okay, he's a refugee. Okay. But I also realized that it didn't make any kind of difference up to this point. So why should it make a difference after that point?
And in our last part, Absolutely Exchanged, Sheila tells us what are the concerns of European students who go for an exchange semester to Canada and how they can manage them.
It's come to our attention that our students coming in from probably mostly European countries feel that our style of the grading here is a little more intense in the sense.
But now let us start with the show. 3 weeks ago, I was sitting with Sheila Young from Brock University, Canada, and had the chance to ask her how she had prepared herself for the German culture before her visit. In our section, Absolutely Serious, we also find out which stereotypes she held before she arrived.
I've never been to Germany, and I really don't know a whole lot about Germany before this particular trip. So I went to our exchange and study abroad office and borrowed a resource book,
a cultural book
that's intended to prepare someone for going to Germany.
Do you remember any things you read in that book? I mean, do you read it on the plane while you're coming here?
Yeah, I don't usually watch movies. Okay. Usually I read, and I thought I'm going to read this book from start to finish and see what I think.
Right, so what did you hear about the Germans? Did you still want to get off the plane by the time you
just
arrived?
Just to back up one sec too, I don't believe in just consulting one thing anyways, and that's how I have studied and learned about cross-cultural communications myself since I started in this field probably 20 years ago. I always try and talk to someone that is German. So, or call up a professor that I know or someone that's been to Germany and ask them some of the questions that I have that are top of mind, I guess, you know, just even how to address people or certain do's and don'ts, I guess, like this book contained. But I'll call and ask people, too, because you can't just rely on one resource.
Okay.
Because it's too stereotypical, usually.
Okay.
But I did kind of have a sense that, oh, there seemed to be strict kind of rules to follow because I was reading that Germans have a very formal culture and you know, that it would be very formal in the business place. Like I think we talked about over dinner, actually you did mention this about, it said things like Germans will not, you know, really talk about personal things, especially if they've only met you the first time, that, you know, it will just be all business and then business is separate from friends.
Right.
There's a saying it talks about in the book too, like, work is work and beer is schnapps is schnapps or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't remember the first part.
Absolutely. That does make sense. And that is something that my parents would have used, actually.
Yeah.
They would have said, yes, don't mix private life with working life. You're right. It is a little bit more separate. I once read something which was written for the American market, and that really surprised my students when I shared it with them. And that was that it said the Germans don't smile. Mm. Smiling is reserved to friends. Mm. What do you think about that?
I think it said that in that book as well about the being reserved
and
very
thing.
Formal. Yeah, that yes, like smiling too much. Like when it said something about, you know, don't walk around and just smile at people as you pass them because they'll think that you're crazy.
And I think that that is true, actually. In Germany, you can make people nervous. If you sit on the underground train, for example, and you smile at somebody, they might even get up and sit somewhere else because they think there's something wrong with you.
Oh, really? So that is true. See, I can't detect that because I haven't been here long enough.
I think Sheila is absolutely right. It does take some time to distinguish between the specific behavior of the one person we happen to meet in the new culture and the more typical behavior of people from that cultural group. However, I'm beginning to believe that we Germans have to accept the fact that we are not natural smilers. And even worse, if we meet too many smilers in another culture, we are very quick to judge that this culture is not very serious or not businesslike or even shallow. Now, in our next part, we are going to hear about the experiences of three students who took part in the Managing Cultural Diversity Seminar. In this weekend workshops, they met new students from other departments and lecturers from our partner universities. All in all, a group of 41 participants from as many as 22 different countries. You can imagine that they had opportunities to make new and interesting friendships. However, they did not know that in the seminar room there were also three refugees with whom they worked during the workshops. My idea was to make the point that our international students are not so very different from our refugees in Germany, and that the distinctions we make could be a little political or even arbitrary. In our category, absolutely integrated, I asked my students whether they had been in contact with refugees before.
In my family, there's a funny situation because my parents, my mother is from the DDR. So it's like Germany was separated, as you know. And after the Mauer falls down, my mother was coming to Koblenz. Mm-hmm. And my father and my mother met each other. And because of that, she's now not really a refugee.
Yes.
But my father makes a lot of jokes about that. Okay. So we got the first contact with really this whole topic of refugees was a very funny thing for me in my childhood.
Okay, because your mother is almost a refugee. Are you fully integrating her in the family life?
Yeah, we try to. Sometimes it's difficult. No, I'm kidding. So it's no problem. I think she's also German, so.
You said you recognized the different names of the families. Now, for my time, I don't even see those names as different. I recognize, okay, they might have had grandparents, they come from another country, but I don't think when I read a name that sounds different that the people are automatically from another country.
Okay.
If it's Turkish, Polish. I mean, even in our national football team, we have many people with other backgrounds.
That is true. And of course, they need to be integrated very quickly. Otherwise, the whole team cannot be successful. I like that example, actually. So what can we do to turn into a football team?
I would say in general, it's very important to create the same basis you can build up on. So if you just see them as different groups or as different people, you can't really build up a relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to create the same basis or the same rules, like in football, and everybody knows what their place is, and everybody knows we are all the same, we are all players in this game, and we can develop a kind of game to that. So
okay. What I really like about this football metaphor is that, of course, the whole team can only be successful if the newcomers are integrated very quickly. You cannot carry on and play very well and give these newcomers a bench where they can sit for a while. Somehow they need to be really integrated. Now, you've just taken part in a seminar. We had a weekend seminar as an experiment. We integrated three people who were not students, but who are refugees. When did you find out? Because this wasn't explained at the beginning of the seminar.
I found it out when we were going for lunch the second day. And Nasima was walking with me. And I said, oh, which subjects you're studying in? She said, oh, I'm not a student. I thought maybe she was in invited by some university and something. And then she said, yes, I have been invited, but I'm also not a part of university. And then I got an idea, oh, she is a refugee. Okay.
And that's typical. I mean, we just assume that everybody is a little bit like ourselves. We have a couple of categories. How did you find out?
I already knew two of the guys from our waffle day 1 week before. So for those two guys, I knew they are refugees, so I could easily talk to them.
Okay. What was interesting, of course, was that it took most people until day two. And some people I noticed at the end when I said, by the way, I wanted to say now that we have included some people who are not students. I could see on many faces that they didn't notice at all. And this was an interactive seminar where people worked in groups, in different groups all the time. That's quite surprising, isn't it?
I realized that there was refugees at the second day that we were going to dinner at the Brauhaus. And I was just sitting there with some friends of mine and also some new friends. And there was the guy from Eritrea. And I was just talking to him, and I thought he was just a student as all of us and an exchange student. So we were talking about some basic things, like I asked him if he likes the German food, mm-hmm. Do you like the beer in Germany? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, yes. And there we created a conversation, and it didn't felt wrong. And at some point, after 10 or 20 minutes, we talked about where we're from, and he said, yeah, I'm from Eritrea. And then I realized at some point, yeah, okay, he's a refugee.
Okay.
But I also realized that it didn't make any kind of difference up to this point. So why should it make a difference after that point?
Yeah.
And the relationship which we built up to this point weren't any kind of different just because he was a refugee. And the amazing thing on this conversation and what followed after that, we became like kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And after the last day of the seminar, we exchanged mobile numbers, and mm-hmm. now we stay in contact. And we said goodbye at the afternoon. And in the evening, he wrote me, I wish you a nice Sunday, and okay. I really enjoyed to meet you. And I was like, that's really amazing that he thought about me and that he wrote me in a nice message. So I was happy, and that was my story with the refugee.
Felix's story is very motivating for me to carry on trying to integrate refugees into my regular seminars, excursions, and even in my office work. I'm in the fortunate position here because we have so many exchange students from around the world. And so if I embed refugees from Afghanistan, Eritrea or Somalia in my academic work, they blend in so much more easily than if I just had a fully German group. Let us hope that we can succeed in creating more such situations where our new friends can relax a little and feel as if they were at home, away from home. Let us get back to Sheila from Canada, and in our category Absolutely Exchanged, I asked her how Brock University manages to integrate the students from Europe and what cultural differences the Europeans should be aware of before they go to Canada.
In general, we do try to provide a lot of social and cultural programming as soon as the students arrive, so they start to feel immediately at home and mm-hmm. hopefully have opportunities to make friends, because I think the thing we hear the most, if we hear of any issues, sometimes it's that they're homesick, right? They feel like, oh, it's really hard to make friends, and I'm not sure where everybody is. Like, maybe it's a holiday period or...
Mm-hmm.
So we just try to plan programming and activities in order to alleviate those feelings. And we have an advisor, actually, and our staff that are responsible for study abroad and exchanges. So we have quite a body of international students at Brock for full degree programs,
mm-hmm.
as well as our students that are here on exchange and study abroad, which is a much smaller group. But our office is always open for people to come
and chat.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. What should these students know before they arrive in Canada? Is there anything different culturally?
It's come to our attention that our students coming in from probably mostly European countries feel that our style of the grading here is a little more intense, in the sense that they think it is, because there's many more periods throughout a course where the teacher will give a quiz that has a percentage or a, you know, a mark attached to it. And then another quiz the next week, and an assignment, and a presentation, and participation in class. Like, there's a lot of aspects and pieces to a student's mark at the end. And they tell us, wow, like, cause, so then they see that and they feel a little intimidated because they think, wow, I'm going to have to work really hard all the time. And how can I keep up with that? All those periods of testing.
That is true. And yes, I can imagine that comes as a shock if you've only just arrived and in 2 weeks' time you have your first quiz.
Right. So I would say that's also maybe why we might see them once in a while too, is that they feel a little overwhelmed and they might even come to us to say, I think I need to drop a course because if all my courses are going to be like this one, then I'm afraid, you know, that I can't keep up because they want to do well.
Mm.
So I don't know, like maybe in terms of our study abroad and exchange students, we could probably send some messaging to our partners to maybe relay that message to students coming. They're coming to our institution that these are more academic expectations that you might not be aware of, just so they're prepared. Once a student comes and tells us that they're feeling a little overwhelmed and they tell us why, we say, well, just a sec, what are you worried about right now, though? How did you do on that quiz or that exam? Mm-hmm. And then when they say, oh, I'm so worried because I only got this mark, we tell them, but that's only worth a tiny, tiny amount of your
10% of the course sometimes.
So don't worry, you'll be fine when you have all these other things to do to add up to your grade. And then sometimes that's enough. That does, then they understand and go, oh, okay, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
I'm very happy to hear from Sheila how much energy Brock University staff are putting into making our exchange students comfortable right from their start in their international experiences in Canada. And this brings us to the end of the show. Thanks to all who helped us with the show today. Please check out our website absolutely-intercultural.com, which Anne has been improving over the last couple of months. Check out the new features, or just get more information about this or previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 1st of January. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.